Our high school guidance counselor used to ask us what you would do if you had $1 million, didn't have to work. And then invariably, whatever you'd say, that was supposed to be your career. So if you wanted to fix old cars, then you're supposed to be an auto mechanic.
So what did you say?
I never had an answer. I guess that's why I'm working at Initech.
No, you're working at Initech because that question is bullshit to begin with. If everyone listened to her, there'd be no janitors because no one would clean up if they had $1 million.
If I had $1 million. If I had $1 million.
I'm talking about millions of dollars.
What would you do if you had $1 million?
I'll tell you what I'd do, man. Two chicks at the same time, man.
We're living in a material world and I am a material girl. Or boy.
Well, what about you now? What would you do?
Besides two chicks at the same time?
Oh, yeah.
Nothing.
Nothing, huh?
I would relax. I would sit on my ass all day. I would do nothing.
Well, you don't need $1 million to do nothing, man. Take a look at my cousin. He's broke, don't do
If I had $1 million. If I had $1 million.
Hello, North Bay Station Jacks. I'm Tom Howe. He's a snowy Matt Weber. We got quite the morning here in Chicago. We got stories to tell here. S&P,
I want to hear some of these stories, Chief.
S&P futures up 22. NASDAQ futures up 68. Dow futures up 212. So there we are. Came in, and of course, see, when you think things, Brendan, I'm thinking, if I just get out of the alley, which I've never not been able to do in my Suburban, I look at it, I'm going, I don't know. I'll give it a shot because it snows. I don't think I've ever seen in Chicago such a combination of lake effect and regular storm. We essentially had two storms in the city.
Yep.
And so I get out of the alley, get into the church parking lot. Matty trundles his way over there, of course. Gets snow in his boots and everything because there's like a foot on the ground. This is after we shoveled it all last night, or our men shoveled it all. But Armitage unplowed, Sheffield, North Avenue, all the ramps, Kennedy, Matty totally untouched, right? And people just driving along. We never on a four wheel the whole way. Then we get down here to our garage. It's totally unplowed. There's no way we're going in there. I mean, they had a drift in there. It was 2 feet high. Fortunately, I'm a member of LaSalle or Buckingham, and so we went and parked over there. And now I got to go work out so I get free parking.
Yeah.
Which, you know, I can
see, it's all worth it. It's all a ruse to get you to work out again, Chief.
Well, I do anyway, though, right? I haven't used the parking thing yet. So now I'll use it today.
Glad that you made it.
Yeah, I don't know if it was, I had to come in anyway. I mean, you know, we had my money to manage, but, Manny, how many cars would you think were out there? I mean, plus the yellow line, the purple line, and the orange line are all closed. So it's a rough morning.
I think the blue line might be closed too right now.
Wow. Well, I mean, I got to believe along the expressway, it's got to be pretty nasty there. But markets are up and stuff's happening, Brennan. So where do you want to start, for God's sake? We still got stimulus thing going through Congress. We've got a market's going up every day, and I was reading this weekend about, you know, people complaining necessarily, not complaining, but people talking about in the industry that the thing that has people the most concerned about the recent rally is it's not, I'll use the term, traditional stocks, because the further you are out on the risk curve, like be it Bitcoin or something like that, that's the stuff that's going up the most. It's the penny stocks.
And how long can that last?
Well, I don't know. At least one more day, it looks like. but you know, you don't. I mean, I don't. This anything that's going up, it's like the momentum trading world. I mean, there isn't a soul that can even tell you what they're buying with Bitcoin. But God, Brendan, we start getting a $50,000 a pop. That's a real number. I mean, don't you think
that's real money?
It's $49,528, and I was talking to a client at one of my places that I help out with, and. And he's got three or four of the original Bitcoins. And
wow.
I said, we're,
he's got to be doing pretty well right now.
Well, but he won't sell them. I said, well, why don't you like, I mean, it's not up to me. I don't know anything about it. I said, but, you know, it seems like you wouldn't buy four here for $200K. I don't think. Oh, no, I wouldn't. Well, then maybe, you know, just, if you're the one who's nervous, I'd, maybe you should off one or two, you know. Oh, no, man, why? It just keeps going up every day. Why would I ever sell it? Well, you don't really want to sell it while it's going up every day, but I guess you want to sell it the day before it doesn't, but I think people are going to do the U-turn on all this stuff, Brennan.
Mm-hmm.
And, the more I know that I you know, maybe some people either don't know what the hell I'm talking about or whatever, but this concept of the bifurcation in the tax, where if you make the money, you got to pay, and you know, and if you lose it, you don't get to take it off. You can only take $3,000 off. I mean, I don't know. Is Bitcoin an asset? I guess.
I think it is.
But I don't know. I would think it is too. But it, since I don't know what it is, I've hard to.
It's got value. I mean, you may not be able to hold it in your hand, but it has value. And it's being traded. So why wouldn't it be an asset like any other commodity or anything that's tangible?
I guess,
it has value, and people are trading it.
Well, I guess you're right. I mean, what happens to all the people who? It's more of a Maddie question. How many Maddie? You know, any people who forgot their passwords from years ago?
I don't know. I've just read about some of the horror stories online.
Well, I mean, a lot of the ones that I've heard, people have like a tenth of a, well, even that's $5,000, but, you know, they bought like, $20 worth 5 years ago or something. What is that? What would you have got? Would it have been like a hundredth of a Bitcoin or what? I don't even know. But, I think there was a vending machine. Actually, I researched, we could have gotten in the Bitcoin vending machine business. Brennan, I think you still could, by the way. But in Beverly area, my brother bought, just to be a knucklehead, he bought like $25 worth of Bitcoin. And it was in, let's say there's you know, different stores in that area. And the stores that you would say the least, let's put it this way. One was the currency exchange. And the other was one of the food stores that pretty much catered to the African-American community. And those were the two that had the Bitcoin machines. People were buying Bitcoin. Now, I, you know, some of them probably did pretty well, but I don't know if you know if you. Well, the first of all, I think he paid $25, and it was a $5 fee, so he only got $20 worth of Bitcoin. That's pretty good. So the fee was what, 20%? So that's not bad. Yeah. So that's why I was thinking maybe buying one of those machines. You could have bought one for, you know, I think they were like 10G, but they're real super high end machines. Where if Bitcoin went out of business, the thing could also be used as a cash machine. So I mean, it was, you know, it was a lot of dough, and but hell, at $20 a pop, you start getting, or 20%, you get your money back pretty quick. But no, I don't.
Right.
But I never asked him if he remembered his password. This is, you know, when did Bitcoin come out? Maybe 6-7 years ago. Or was it longer than that?
I think longer than that.
I think longer than that too.
Well, I haven't heard boo of any of the people. Remember the special they had on TV regarding guys that were putting server warehouses. Up next to the Grand Coulee Dam, because if you run them at night, the power's like next to nothing because nobody will take the power at night off the dam, and that's like the cheapest electricity in the country if you were in like 10 miles of the Grand Coulee Dam or something, some bizarre story. So these guys had these warehouses, literally hundreds and hundreds of servers in there because didn't to mine a Bitcoin to start one up got harder and harder as you went along or something, some bizarre story. I mean, I. It's sort of fascinating, but now the thing is where it is. And
started in 2009, by the way, so we're on year what, 12. 12, yeah.
Yeah.
11, 12.
And they're still sticking to the story that, you know, somebody landed in a saucer or some Asian guy came off the mountaintop and designed a thing and then went back, and now it's totally rudderless. It's just working on its own, and people are driving it.
That's the story. It was created by an unknown person using the alias Satoshi Nakamoto.
Who now just sits there and watches. Or doesn't. Or
he's dead.
Or he's dead.
No idea.
Or went back to space. Well, that's what happened to... What was
I think he went back to space.
Well, but did he
He's
leave?
Operating that laser up in the sky.
Did he Jewish leave? Laser?
Did he,
yeah.
Did he leave Gort? Or he left Bitcoin this time instead of Gort, right?
Yeah.
Gort was a robot, Maddie, and the day of the earth stood still. Nobody could mess with Gort. You know what's so funny about that? Everybody should, well, there's other stuff to watch, but I think most people should take a shot at that film, not because it's somewhat not corny, but actually it wasn't all that corny, but the way people behaved when this thing landed is exactly the way people would behave today, I think. So I don't know if you ever saw it, Maddie, but this big honking saucer comes in, and they're tracking it. It lands right in front of the White House, right? And what's that park across the street where you got the softball fields and stuff, where you have demonstrations and whatever. Anyway, the thing lands there.
Lafayette Park?
Yeah, it must be. So, of course, every squad car in town races out and surrounds the thing with all these army guys. And he, and the dudes have like their service revolvers out pointed at the thing. You know, like, what's that going to do? The guy just made it from outer space, right? You're going to get him with a handgun. So he comes out, and of course somebody shoots him. Right? And this big monster robot comes out, and the robot's, he has no sense of humor. So then the guy just says, nope, they take him to the hospital. He tells the robot to stand down. So the robot's standing there, and he closes the door to the spacecraft. So, of course, all of our idiots are got, like, drills and stuff, and they're trying to drill into the robot in a spacecraft to find out what it's made out of. So they're trying to take the thing apart while the guy's in the hospital, which, of course, we would do now. And then he tries to get all the people together, the leaders of the world, where everybody's busy, so nobody would show up for the meeting. Now, that would happen today, right? Do you think anybody would show up for the meeting? it is more of a piece on human behavior than it is anything else, would you say, Brendan?
It was in the success story. We're still here, and the robot and the spaceship is not.
Well, you know what he did? I mean, I'm convinced he did. Is he set it up as a tax haven? So
he's offshore.
Yeah, it's an offshore tax haven, so he doesn't have to pay taxes at home. He just runs it through here. He leaves the robot as a cost center. God, you know, the thing of it is, it's almost that. It's almost could be very well true. It's like some of these places. Did you see? You're not the tax attorney guy, but the Coca-Cola is all irate because they lost that case in the tax court last week.
Didn't see that. No,
they're claiming $9.5 billion that they claimed was in the. They set up all these cost areas. I don't know what they call them, in like 7 or 8 different countries, and they put all their processes and stuff over there, and they're paying rent to each other or something. So this is like one of the first cases they've lost, and people have lost this because usually the tax court rolls with these guys, and it's multi-billion dollars that they have to pay taxes on. And if they lose, now of course the guy from Coke was irate with how justified he is in doing this. And I'm like, it was all about transfer pricing, you know. So it's, come on. What is somebody who's, you know, I assume you guys are in the market to the extent that you're, you know, in the market like most people, you know, 401k or something, or an IRA that you, if somebody retired, you're in. But what do you make of the fact that when it's going up and there's no place to put it where there's interest, how do you deal with I just can't be out because there's no, I mean, I gotta get the last dime to the point. I mean, is that mentality, I mean, you talk to those kinds of people more than I would, except they're not my clients. But what do you think is the mentality? I mean, do you think anybody, if they ever were to like lighten up here, well, I have a client coming in that they claim 401k and they just open up an IRA here, which is what people do. And the place where they were didn't want to let them out. So they were telling them, if you sell out, there's not even a money market for you to put it in for like a week.
Mm-hmm.
I thought every 401k would have a money market.
Well, I think that the advice that I'm hearing is just don't deviate from the plan you had. Even like when you think about a year ago when the markets just dropped tremendously because of COVID, was stick to your plan, and that's what they're saying now. Just stick with it. Don't start selling. Don't try to get out of it right now. Just let it be and stick with your strategy.
Well, what's the strategy?
Let it keep growing for a while more.
Okay. Does price enter into the strategy at all?
At some point.
When?
Well, I don't have an answer for that.
Well, I mean, it's. I've seen this before. We did a seminar. This is how crazy things were in early 2000. We didn't run the seminar, but we went as people had talked about execution of orders and things like that. So we were guest speakers, for lack of a better term. And they have it in the Bahamas. And so there's actually 65 people fly to the Bahamas for a seminar. Now, can you imagine that? How crazy things were in early 2000. So we go down there, you know, nuts too, and all these people are involved in like all these stocks, right? And God, I didn't not like the Bahamas at all. I'm not, wasn't big on it. Mosquitoes and humidity, I'm out on that. But so anyway, we got 65 people in a room, and Micron at the time, I think it was trading 95 or something. So I go, okay, this stock is up from like 10. How many people in the room own Micron? It was like, you know, it was like one of the popular stocks today. So everybody in the room raised their hand, damn near everybody. So I go, okay, when are you guys going to sell it? What do you mean it's going higher? What if I gave you $120 for it right now? It closed yesterday at $95. I'll give you $120 right now. See? You're trying to steal from us. You know it's worth $150. 6 months later, I think the stock was like $7 or something.
Uh-huh.
And you couldn't have got it. They would have given you a canine quicker than they would one of their stocks because it was just going up. And all of a sudden, these things were you know, what, 6-8 months later, they were nothing, right?
Yeah.
And these were real companies.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know how you stop that mentality, because one thing I'll say about, you know, what you were just saying about stick with the plan. If I want to buy an old Corvette, my plan is to, you know, have classic cars. And I buy it for $20 because I think it's a relative bargain, and something crazy happens, and 3 weeks later it's worth $80. According to my plan now, do I got to pay $80 for another one, or do I say it's too expensive if I'm sticking with the plan?
I would think that would be. I think the strategy is at a certain point you've got to say, I'm willing to sell when I get this much money at a certain percentage or a certain price, and don't be greedy. You know, the flip side is, on the financial advisor side or the broker side, don't blame the broker if it continues to go up, if you've made a fair sum and not being greedy. If your example is, if it's trading at 95 or 99 and you just hypothetically say 120, I'm giving you 120 right now, I'm taking the risk that it's going to go higher than 120, you're going to be guaranteed at least a $20 profit. For sure. So, you know, is that enough? And, you know, the question I spend in is more enough. In America, we always want to be the guy who buys at the lowest point and sells to the highest point. And we look down as losers for anybody who doesn't do that or anybody who doesn't see the market turn. When really, nobody sees the market turning in advance.
No, it's you don't get the memo. Now, my grandfather was an immigrant from Italy. He said, don't ever really be afraid to leave a little something for the next guy.
Right.
No, that's a totally different mentality. I don't know why people feel. Last thing you want to do, Brendan, is to, as a broker, to say, well, you know, I think the stock's too high here. Because what I try and do is ask you, I'd say, okay, Brendan, we got Honeywell trading at 204.20 here this morning, up 60 cents. You've got 10,000 shares that your dad left you or something, so that's a lot of money. If I just gave you that cash today, Would you put every last dime in Honeywell? Your answer is probably going to be no. It might be yes, but rarely.
No, it's going to be no. It'd be no. Again, you kind of go back to the percentages that you have in your plans, is how much you're going to invest in certain spots, and you would reinvest part of the part of balance someplace else.
Right, or maybe you wouldn't. Maybe you wouldn't put any of it in Honeywell. You know, that's possible
right.
too.
Mm-hmm.
So I mean, I think you have to ask your questions in a way that makes it, you know, where it's the client's concerns, their fears. If they say, yeah, it's the greatest stock in the planet, well, then you leave in Honeywell, right?
Mm-hmm. Right. Sell it all.
Yeah.
If you think that you bought Amazon at 10 and you don't want to sell it now, well, that's great. But for every Amazon, how many other companies are there that went up and down? And if you held on, you would have lost the bundle.
Well, Brendan, we have to head off there to Joel. Thank you for calling in. We're sorry we were a little late, but we're not sorry. We're lucky we made it. So,
and Maddie, have a good day.
Maddie's all pissed off. He's got wet socks.
Let's hope that this does not impact the mayoral race.
Oh, God. Well, there isn't one up. When is this? It's not for another 2.5 years, right?
2 years.
She's been in 2 years already?
Everybody will forget about this by then.
Probably. Brendan, take care of yourself. SP Futures up 1975. NASDAQ Futures up 67. Be right back. Stocks and Jacks.
How much confidence do you have that your investments will make you wealthy? Do you truly know the odds? Welcome to Luckbox, the control freak's guide to life, money, and probability. Luckbox shows you how to gauge the likelihood of success before you commit to an investment or any other decision. And Luckbox is free for 1 year at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Each new issue dives deep into the current investing climate, separates the signal from the noise with relevant trade ideas, and equips you with cutting-edge tactics you don't already know. Luckbox is the essential magazine for proactive investors who are hell-bent on pursuing life, luxury, and happiness through sports, fitness, travel, food, spirits, music, and a whole lot more. Smart investors don't bet on possibilities, they play the probabilities. Luckbox is $7.99 on newsstands, but you can subscribe for 10 free digital issues at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Don't rely on luck. Get Luckbox at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks.
Hello, this is Tom Howell, the Chief. Confused about investing these days? I suspect you are not alone. Investing was never easy, although at times it may have seemed so. I think one reason behind the current concern, although maybe not explained as such, is how the fluctuation in the American dollar and the associated politics is affecting your investments and your wealth. It may not be enough to make some money in your investments. You may need now to make enough to exceed the amount that your leadership is depreciating the value of the dollars you've worked your whole life to accumulate. That same leadership has seen fit to maneuver risk-free interest rates to near zero. Providing positive risk-averse returns in a zero-interest and declining real wealth environment is by far the toughest assignment I've ever had in my years as a money manager. I'm sure that a lot of you have heard that one way to possibly deal with this problem is to invest in so-called hard currencies like silver and gold, the idea being that they will retain their relative value in the face of devaluation of paper currencies like the dollar. To be honest, I have never been a gold bug. I've always had faith that having enough dollars and a good investment strategy was good enough. Now I'm not so sure. But I do know that if I did invest in gold or silver, I'd want to do it in the same manner as we do with PTI for investments in the market, with defined risk. If you feel the need to invest in gold or silver, we can do it using the same strategies that we use for our protected index program. No matter what you invest in, we feel that you need to know and control your risk. Find us at PTISecurities.com. That's PTISecurities.com.
Are you one of the millions of people who suffer with pain? Do you wake up in the morning with stiffness in the lower back or neck? Why are you using medication to cover up the symptoms without treating the actual cause? Painkillers, muscle relaxants, and anti-inflammatories are not the answer. At ChiroMed, physicians are trained to detect the cause of your symptoms and to correct the underlying problem. If you're ready to listen to common sense and do what it takes to make changes in your body that can affect your health for the rest of your life, give ChiroMed a call and set up a complimentary consultation. They are located in Orland Park and can be reached at 708-403-2727. 20,000 patients over 22 years have been treated at ChiroMed, and over 90% of them have had positive results without medication or expensive surgery. Isn't it time you did something good for your body too? Give ChiroMed a call. 708-403-2727. That's 708-403-2727. Let's get you pain-free and living again.
Stocks, jocks,
Stocks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now, right here, right now.
Hello and welcome back to Stocks and Jocks. I'm Tom Howell, Mr. Brent Weber. S&P futures up 1950, NASDAQ futures up 68, Dow futures up 196. Looks like the, even though 70% of the country is under snow, market likes it. Nikkei is up 383. The rest of these guys, I think, are all closed for the Lunar New Year. The Shanghai and Hang Seng. In Europe, we got the DAX down 5, call that flat. FTSE up 11, but it's 0.2%. CAC up 1, call that flat. There's not much going on there. The way of review, as it was a few days ago, on Friday we kind of, well, an inside day, and the Dow was up 27, S&P was up 18, and NASDAQ was up 69, so they were strong. Bonds, get a load of this, 1.25. That's as high as we've seen it in a real long time. And I got out of my XLT on Friday, and I did not reload, so it's pissing me off here. Bund, minus 0.36, again, a huge move up in there. Japan, almost 0.08. So we got interest rates marching up pretty darn good here. The oil's up 36 cents, 59.83. Brent down 11 cents, 63.11. Natural gas up 18 cents, Manny, 3.10. RBOB up 7 cents, 176. And the burbs, they went from 251 to some places were 275 on yesterday. So they're up like 20 cents in some stations in one day. Gold down $5, 18.17. Silver up 37. Look at this, 27.70. That's a huge difference. Copper up 5 cents, 384. I think we should have bought some copper at 248. What do you think, Manny?
That would have been nice.
Yeah, really would have been nice. Platinum up $48, 1307. 6.5-year peak in platinum. Did you buy the girlfriend a platinum wedding band or no?
It's supposedly a hybrid. The mount piece is platinum. The band itself is actually gold.
There you go. Well, so you're half and half. So yeah. You're up on your platinum today. You're not so up on your gold. What do you got for us, Travy Weather Sports?
38 minutes past the hour. Good morning to everyone out there. We have all kinds of delays and crashes to speak of due to the snowy conditions. Not a lot of time for the plows to get out there this morning, and it's created havoc on the area expressways. If you can, stay home today, work from home. But if you got to be out there, give yourself plenty of time, because the Edens and Kennedy are very slow, and traffic times are building on the Eisenhower and Stevenson, Dan Ryan, I-57, and the Bishop Ford. We do have some crashes to speak of. It looks like on the Edens entrance ramp from eastbound Peterson, that is closed now with a stalled semi that got, I don't know if it got stuck there or what happened, but the entrance ramp to Peterson is closed on the Edens, and that's causing all kinds of havoc as people try to navigate around that to get on to the Edens. We have an issue on the Stevenson ramp to the inbound Dan Ryan due to multiple vehicles becoming stuck on the ramp from the Stevenson to get on the Ryan. And that's
how about the one right on our window?
Yeah, that's a common theme, is all kinds of issues getting on to the expressways, and then once you do get on, very slow travel time. So give yourself plenty of time. We won't go over every single spin out in the area, but there's a bunch of those too. Weather today, more clouds, could have some more flurries as well. A high of just 21 as we remain just dark and very, very cold and tons of snow. And it's going to continue that way at least for the rest of this week. Right now it's overcast and 11 going up to a cloudy high of 21. For our Phoenix listeners, partly cloudy skies with a high of 70 today. Right now it's cloudy and 52. In sports, the Bulls are now just a game out of the playoffs, believe it or not, at 11-15. They won in overtime against the Pacers last night. 120-112 was the final in that one. In hockey, Blackhawks topped the Red Wings 3-2. Coyotes beat the Blues 1-0. Chief.
That was kind of an interesting game last night. The Bulls were up for a while and then down. But the best is, since we have Joel with us, the Hawks, didn't they kick ass in Detroit?
They did beat the Red Wings yesterday.
Were you watching that, Joel?
Everyone beats the Red Wings. Everyone beats the Pistons. But if you want to talk sports, then we can talk Michigan basketball.
Not even Michigan football.
23-day layoff. Did you see the game at all, Chief?
No, but I heard about it. I was trying to find it. I couldn't find it.
Yeah. It was. I believe it was on CBS. It was. Down 14, just before the half, Isaiah Livers hit the two. They came out in the second half. They ended up winning by 8. And I just have to say one thing. Juwan Howard, what a coach, what a mentor. 19 seasons in the NBA, actually a total of 25 seasons. 19 as a player, 6 as a coach. And got 3-4 NBA players on that team. It's like the brightest spot in my life during the pandemic. At least I was able to watch some Michigan basketball, and man, they look good. The Big Ten is loaded. Game against Ohio State next week, who's looking good too. So, man, oh man, very, very excited about Michigan basketball.
What, real briefly, I saw early in the year, of course, the Irish aren't that good, but Michigan State, they played as good a defense as I've seen. Then they played somebody like two nights later, and I watched them again. They looked spectacular in stretches. They lost by 30 the other night at home to somebody. What happened to them? They lose like 8 players or what?
You know, they did lose a couple guys to the league. Chief, as much as I like that, you know, to bash on Michigan State, I think of, you know, what's going on right now in sports, I think you just got to call it a COVID year. I mean, they were out for a long time. They didn't quite have the layoff that we did. You know, a few injuries, these layoffs and everything. It's a weird year. And I think that I hope that was the reason why Michigan football was so bad. But, man, you know, it's just, that's what I chalk it up to. Izzo's a great coach. Doesn't look, you know, they have good recruits. They got good recruits coming in. But, you know, I think you just have to look on down the line. And I think what these kids are going through and the coaches is an unprecedented thing. And, you know, you don't want to use injuries as an excuse. But, you know, I guess along the same lines as COVID would be my explanation.
Well, it seems like some of the guys, and this goes through anything, just because you're maybe a great basketball coach in a regular world, this is becoming, you're like their dad, their nurse. I mean, there's nobody else on campus. It's a whole different world. You're it's a Some kids are probably can put up with that, and others are probably going crazy.
Oh, I totally agree with you. And, you know, Juwan is, I mean, you look at the contrast between him and, you know, Izzo. I mean, he's much closer in, you know, in age to these guys. You know, different generations go through different things, but yeah, you are. You're your coach, you're their mother, you're their father, you're their counselor, and, you know, it's a lot of pressure. I definitely agree with you on that one.
Well, the kids, they haven't been allowed to go home, right? I mean, they probably started this in November.
Well, that's why Michigan got in trouble, is they let some of the athletic teams go home. And rumor has it that a lady basketball player went to the United Kingdom and came home with the United with the weird strain. So I've never gotten to the bottom of all what happened with that, but it did look like there was some mismanagement by the athletic department, but... They came down. I don't know if it was state mandated, university mandated. They locked them down, and you know, 20 as a result, 2 weeks off, and then canceling a bunch of games. I was so prepared for a loss and for a sluggish performance, which they did do in the first half. But yeah, there's a lot of unusual circumstances here in 2021.
Well, I mean, at some point, the idea that. We've got, well, again, I don't want to go through this again, but I read some of the very early studies on this virus, and I was astounded at how contagious it was. And here we are a year later. Everybody who gets it, they're still pointing at somebody. I got it from that guy or that girl. You know, I mean, come on.
I mean, very contagious, yeah.
I mean, how are people not going to get it when it's 1,000 times more contagious than SARS, for God's sake?
Yeah, do what I do. Don't go anywhere.
Well, that's a thought. No. Yeah, that's a thought. You got to go someplace sometime, you know. Do you get your vaccine?
Yeah, you're right. I'm looking forward to getting the vaccine. And, yeah, it's, I don't know, the cases seem to be coming down somewhat. So,
well, they're down from.
You know, the vaccine, we got a little slow start on the rollout. Maybe we could play some catch up and we can see the light. Perhaps we can see the light. I mean, one thing I think I've been saying consistently is that pandemics don't last a year. You know, it's like, it's not like, hey, it's here, it's, you know, an earthquake. You have an earthquake, you have the after effects, and you pick up, right? Pandemic is something that persists. So, let's see, a year or two, you know, hopefully by the end of the year, people ask me, how long do you think you'll be wearing masks? I'm like, I think some people are going to be wearing masks for a long time.
Well, some people are definitely into it, you know, but Illinois, the cases are down from 3 weeks ago, maybe, or 10,000, or what, 1,400 yesterday?
So, and as a country, we are now at 12% of the country have received at least one dose of the vaccination, and over 4% have been fully vaccinated so far in the U.S.
I really hope, and again, we have criticism last week that I'm not a doctor, but I do read a book without pictures every now and then. I'm starting to hear some pretty bizarre stuff that one thing we don't want to do and to take a chance on, since the testing on these vaccines is, we say, hurried anyway. That doesn't mean I don't think you should take them. I think they're safe, to be honest with you. But what you don't want to do is screw up the two shots versus one, like Biden wants to do. Because I read this thing that's amazingly troubling from my little COVID hotspot that people send me everything. Is that some people now are thinking that the mutations are actually happening inside people that are getting the disease and can't shake it.
Mm-hmm.
And it lingers too long, and instead of your body or the vaccine killing it, well, it's the same thing. The vaccine gets your body the antibodies that don't allow it to get in, or your body will kill it by its own antibodies. The last thing you want to do is let it hover around for 60, 70 days. It should be gone in 10. And if it's not, if you start getting two strains in the same person, then you can have trouble.
Yeah, that I haven't heard that. I'll have to check with my medical consultant. But just real quick, the markets were ripping again, Chief. I can't give you resistance when there isn't any. Just a euphoric state here in the markets. Looks like interest rates are coming up. That's not bothering the market. Just a very unusual time in the markets. And as usual, you know, if you have targets and objectives, take it. You never know when it can turn. But very unusual market.
One quick question. This weekend I read 2-3 articles all saying the same thing, that the thing that has analysts troubled, whatever that means, is that the biggest movements are in the riskiest stuff. Penny stocks, Bitcoin, those kinds of things. And Yeah, you almost can, you know, the movement up in the regular stacks, you know, could be considered justified, but these guys are saying, wow, the further out the risk curve you go, the more it's rallying.
True.
I'm not so sure that's true,
and it is, but, you know, as far as some of the small caps rallying, they've underperformed the big caps for a long time, but I know what you're talking about, and, you know, that's the current market environment, and it's great when everything's, you know, going up, but when it turns, Chief. You've been through it a few times,
yeah.
You know what it's like. So sell on the way up, even though it's hard to do.
Yes, it is. Take care, Joel. SP Futures up 20, NASDAQ Futures up 74. Be right back.
Interested in promoting your business to a high-end audience comprised of entrepreneurs, traders, executives, and the everyday business person? Consider advertising on Stocks and Jocks. With a devout listenership covering the Chicago market, along with a vast online presence, advertising on Stocks and Jocks may be just what it takes to put your business over the top. For more information, contact me, Matt Weber, at matt@stocksandjocks.net. That's matt@stocksandjocks.net.
Hi, I'm Audrey Johnson, an owner of Home Source Realty and a frequent contributor to Stocks and Jocks. Do you know when the unofficial start of real estate season is in the Chicago area? It's actually right after the Super Bowl. Yep, it's the time when the guys will finally get off the couch and the families start looking for homes in the area. Now, interest rates also have been hovering around 4%, and the selection of properties are great. And if you're a first-time home buyer, there is an Illinois program that allows you to purchase a home for only 1% down. And that also applies to anyone who hasn't owned a home in the past 3 years. So if you're thinking about it, this is the perfect time. Call or email me, and I will send you a free list of homes designed to your specifications in your area. My phone number is 708-349-3456, or you can email me, AudreyJohnson@Realtor.com. That's AudreyJohnson@Realtor.com.
Stocks, Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now, right here, right now, right now.
Hello and welcome back to Stocks and Jocks. I'm Tom Holley, Mr. Matt Weber. SP Futures up 20.75. NASDAQ Futures up 73. Did Kenny say he has room for us on his yacht?
If I had a yacht, I'd absolutely have room for you. Don't you worry about it.
Kenny, we've been here a long time, and I don't think I've ever seen a lake effect storm combined with another one. I've never seen anything like this. This is just crazy, and this is February, for God's sake.
It is, right? It's unbelievable. But, you know, look, when you think about it, December and January were relatively mild, at least in the Northeast. I don't know about there in Chicago.
Very much so.
Yeah, and look, and now we're already into mid-February, and you can almost smell spring as a month away. So, you know, it is what it is.
If you walk out today and you smell spring, you got some kind of sniffer. You must have been smoking the crinkly cigarettes.
Listen, all I know, Chief, is going to be 80 degrees out here in Southern Florida today. It's not a cloud in the sky, and it's gorgeous out.
Do you know there's only, like, other than maybe the Phoenix area in Florida, everybody else is, the snow covers 70% of the country.
I know. It's unbelievable. Yes, unbelievable. I saw it.
Well, for some stupid reason, I'm clipping through the TV Saturday night. Of course, even though the cable went off at Audrey's place, so that wasn't good. So it came back on. They're doing this around the country weather thing. I've never seen anything like it.
I heard this morning that they said, I think it was Dallas. They said Dallas, Texas was colder than Anchorage, Alaska.
Yeah. It was the first ever wind chill warning issued in Houston or Dallas or someplace. First in the history of the city.
Isn't it?
Then they started talking about El Paso. Having all this ice, right? El Paso, it's on the border, for God's sake. And they go, El Paso's, putting trucks out on the street, and I'm going, wait a minute. El Paso can't have a salt truck or a plow. Who the hell would buy that, El Paso? What trucks are they putting out there? Just regular old trucks or what? I mean, I can't imagine they have a snow plow, do you?
No, I can't imagine they have a snow plow either, but, you know, nothing ceases to amaze me these days.
Well, you know what? Talk about a stupid story about investing for things like this. When I was at Pullman way back in the day, a few years before I was working on this Boston contract, there was a storm in Boston. I mean, you were probably there. It was just an incredible storm. All the trains couldn't run. Nothing could run. It was one of the ships that they pulled up on the shore went back in the water and sunk him into a restaurant ship. And so they go out and they buy this thing at the then incredible price of $350,000. And Kenny, it was designed to go in the front of a locomotive, where it essentially would essentially eat the snow and pour it into another car, where there was a boiler in there and it would melt it. Right. So this thing was quite a machine. Well, 5 or 10 years later, the thing had totally rusted through. They threw it out. They never used it. After making that huge investment, it was like a once-in-a-decade storm. But that, like this,
right.
So
right.
Here, I mean, you know, weird part, Maddie and I barely get out of the alley. But, of course, it's a challenge for me in my Suburban, so I get out of the alley all right. Every street was as bad as the alley. We come down here, and a place we normally park isn't plowed. I mean, it's nuts. Anyway, what do you make of this market? I wanted to ask you specifically about a couple articles I read this weekend, and the top analyst, of which you're one, they're saying the thing that troubles them is that the things that are the most risky right now is people are so far out on the risk curve that the things that are Bitcoin, penny stocks, I mean, those are the ones that are going up the fastest.
And I think that suggests this kind of the rationality, right, in the markets. Look, I keep saying it's like a broken record. I think the market's tired. I think it's the valuations are stretched. I think it's overdone. But the more you say it, the higher it goes. Because if everybody kind of expects that same pullback, and everyone's waiting for it, the minute it pulls back 2 or 3%, everyone jumps in, goes, "Ah, I don't want to miss it." And so, therefore, it's never really able to shake out. But at some point, it's going to shake out. And I keep saying to people, you know, if you're invested in the market already, then you shouldn't feel that you're missing out on anything. Because if you're invested properly and the market's going up, you're participating. You don't necessarily need to put your new money into it right now and chase things. You might put new money into things that you view as underperformers and have more upside. But why would you chase big tech names or big growth names at this point in the cycle? I'm holding back on it, but it never ceases to amaze me at herd mentality, right? But look, again, rates are zero. Everyone's confirmed that they're staying at zero. No one's worried about inflation, and so it's that Tina trade, right? There's no alternative at the moment, and so they keep plowing money into the market.
Well, what I read, I don't know, I sent it to myself, but this morning we were so late, I didn't even open up yet, that the last quarter, or was it last month or the month before, was the highest, more money came into the market than like ever before, or some incredible.
Yeah. Yeah, I saw the stat, but I forget exactly what it said, but you can feel it, you know, and this whole idea that, that the economy's not rebounding, that, you know, the market's not looking through, and investors aren't looking through the short-term darkness as we appear to be coming out of this vaccine. Look, hospitalization rates are down big. Infection rates are down big. And even though they're talking about some of these new strains, the vaccine appears to be working. Certainly, I'll tell you, down here in South Florida, baby boomers, of which I'm on the tail end of that baby boom generation, right? I was born in 61. I'll soon turn 60 in a month and a half. But the top end of that curve, top end of baby boomers that have now gotten both shots, they're out again. They're leaving their houses. Yes, are they wearing their masks? Yes. Are they being cautious? They are, but they're no longer being held hostage. They want to go out to dinner. They want to travel. They want to drive down the street. They want to go shopping. They want to go see their grandchildren that they haven't seen in over a year. And so there's this renewed sense of almost life. And if that's happening down here in Florida, I have to believe as other baby boomers around the country start to get that shot and feel a little bit safer and better, that you're going to see this economic rebound happen.
Well, I mean, we might see an economic rebound, but how far do we got to rebound to grow into these stock prices?
Well, I think the stock prices are gonna retreat to catch up to where we are, right? Because I absolutely think, and I've said this, that prices are well ahead of where the rebound's going to be. But I am convinced that the rebound is coming. So, you know, whether the rebound happens a little bit faster and prices kind of come in a little bit slow, they don't collapse, but they just come in where, you know, supply will meet demand. Because right now it's way, you know, stock prices are way over the edge. And in my opinion, but I keep saying that, and they keep going higher and they get more stretched. And so you scratch your head. But like I said, the money that I have in the market is invested in the market. So as the market goes up, I'm participating. So I feel good about that.
Well, Kenny, whenever there's an inflation event, which I think you and I think there already is. Whenever there's an inflation event, it always is going to be, it's never going to be even. So clearly in 1973, if you owned a gas station or if you owned an oil company, you were fat and happy. This time, if you own stocks, you're fat and happy. I mean, it's not even at all.
Right. Well, no, it absolutely isn't. But you could thank the Fed for that, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Certainly thank the Fed and the policy and all that stuff. And that's going to be the problem. You and I discuss it a lot, is that at what point, when the Fed really has, because remember, a year ago, before the panic happened, when the Fed was actually talking about raising rates by 0.25%, the market was going into a temper tantrum. Can you imagine what's going to happen now if there's any indication at all that the Fed's going to start to change policy?
But Kenny, you've been around for a while. Okay, you watch this 10-year going from 0.68 to 1.25 in,
yep,
what, 12 weeks? Why even worry about the Fed? I'm going to say this is 2% by the end of the year. Maybe long before.
Yeah, well, and that brings up the next issue. Where's the tipping point, right? You and I talked about that. I think the tipping point is somewhere between 1.5% and 2%. There are some people that think it doesn't happen until you get, you know, better than 3%, which I think is a pipe dream, because the market is certainly correct well before it gets to 3%. And correct doesn't necessarily mean crash, but correct does mean it's got to take some of the fluff out and the air out. Absolutely has to. And I'm actually kind of hoping that happens. I mean, selfishly, I want to see prices come in because I want to put more money to work, but I'm not chasing it.
Well, I'm going to say that if this thing runs the 2 or 3, and we decline 5%, I have a feeling that Mr. Kenny Polcari is not going to think that's a buying opportunity.
Well, listen, if rates go up and decline 5%, I'd look for it to climb more. I want it to decline 7% and 9%, and that's right now. So if rates go up to 2%, then I'd be looking for a bigger decline, right? Much certainly more than 5%.
What makes you think
but
it won't be? What makes you think, yeah, it won't be like 40?
If you have a well-designed portfolio and you have good names, even though those names might come under some pressure, that does, in fact, create the opportunity. You just have to decide how much pressure you're willing to take.
Well, I mean, everybody's got their tunnel vision a little bit. I do, too. I do. You do. You look at the right stocks you have that you think are slightly overvalued, but 5 or 10% are a buy. I look at some of the stuff that my clients are bringing in, Kenny. These stocks drop 50%, I think they're high. I mean, this is the stuff people that are doing. I mean, there isn't a stock around. It's seemingly less than $200 that I never even heard of.
Right.
I mean
right.
If those things went, so if they were trading 50, you wouldn't bat an eyelash and say the darn things were a buy.
Right.
I mean, you and I wouldn't anyway. Obviously, everybody else would. And they're the ones that are rich. But you know, what I'm saying is, this idea that we could decline, we go up 10% in a week, and the next week, the same people on TV are going, hey, we might have a 5% correction. That didn't even get us to last week.
Yeah, right. But a 5% correction, if where we are today, it's going to be bigger than that, right? And anything up till 10% is still considered normal. But I think, look, if rates go up, like you said, if we see this surge over the summer and rates start to poke, you know, better than 1.7%, I think your market's going to run into some headwinds. I think the market's going to start to back off. I think people are going to take a breather, even though it's not the Fed that's raising rates. And you can argue that, well, rates going up because people, you know, are believing in the economic recovery. Yes, okay, but if it happens too quickly, it's still going to cause people to re-examine stocks and re-examine valuation. Whether or not you think the economy is better or not, if it happens too fast, it's going to cause a readjustment.
Are we going to impeach Powell by the summer?
Impeach Powell? No, I don't think we're impeaching Powell by the summer at all. Him and Janet have a very nice relationship.
Yeah, I know, but
if we
end up like we did in 1978, how do we not run that guy out of the country? And I'm not a violent guy, but I mean, they're ignoring stuff here. Somebody's benefiting by this, and this is crazy. This is not good. Good.
I hear you. 1978, I was a senior in high school, 78, 79. I graduated in 79, and you remember what it was like. We had just come through the oil crisis, the Iranian hostage crisis was there, the country was in completely demoralized, and Paul Volcker was Fed chair, and rates were on their way to 21% by 1982.
So were you the quarterback, homecoming king, dating the cheerleader?
No, I wasn't the quarterback.
You know, get out there and buy a big old yacht. We might need it if this weather stays. Well, I'll drive down if I have to. This is bad. This is.
Come on down. The weather's great. The water's even better.
Thank you, Kenny. SP Futures up 18. Yeah. NASDAQ Futures up 70. Come back with Mr. Mike Hart.
This self-directed trading is a lonely job. Online trading is not as easy as point and click.
No, it's not. Everyone, even professionals, need to share ideas and think out loud every now and then.
That's what I like about PTI Pro Direct. Their staff of former option floor traders really helps me choose the right strategy for trading option volatility and plan the time decay for my covered writing program.
Yep, nothing can replace years of trading experience to stop you from making that dumb trade and for saving a few bucks. We've all been there and done that.
Yeah, I have access to all that great trading advice and experience for just a penny a share for stocks, $1 for equity options, and $1 minimum a trade.
Our clients at PTI Pro Direct can call when they need a little help on a trade or just to talk about the market in general. We trade every day. We love this stuff.
That's what I like most about PTI Pro Direct. Cheap prices along with great advice from real floor traders. It's the best of both worlds.
Tell your friends. That's PTIProDirect.com. PTIProDirect.com.
Is your business being challenged by the complexities surrounding healthcare reform or other matters related to human resources management? If so, then Cognos HR can help. A longtime friend and contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio program, Cognos HR provides its clients with a perfect blend of strategic consulting and day-to-day HR management to drive overall improvement in business performance. Companies that join the Cognos HR family are better able to manage healthcare costs, enhance benefit offerings, and improve employee satisfaction by leveraging our access to Fortune 500 benefits. Our innovative onboarding and payroll technology, along with our constant attention to detail, enables us to provide the highest level of quality service to our clients. Now, your time and energy can be focused on generating business and increasing your bottom line. We'll take care of the rest. For more information, call us at 630-401-8810 or search us on the web at CognosHR.com. Cognos HR, innovation in human resources. Licensed in Illinois and Arizona.
Hear ye, hear ye! The Homer Broadcasting System is on the air!
Stocks, jocks,
stocks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control!
Right here, right now, right here, right now, right now.
There's something happening here.
Low and low based action jacks. I'm Tom Howie. Mr. Matt Weber on the board. We have Mr. Mike Hart. What is SP Futures up 17? NASDAQ Futures up 68. And Mike, you're closer to being kind of a millennial sort of dude than me. And my friend Mr. Weber here that I always kind of look at. You know, he's a terrific guy, but I always wonder some things. Now, if you're a millennial, when you put your snowshoes on, the trick is to never have to lower yourself to lace them up, right? So the idea is to get 10-inch boots, figuring you're never going to get 12-inch snow.
That would be what you call a waste of energy and
absolutely
an inefficient system. In an efficient system, we want to waste as little energy.
Millennials want a little energy. Now, what do you do, though, when your first step is in 12 inches of snow?
Well, then you've done your math wrong and you need a bigger boot.
That's right. I ended up with snow in my boots, as you can imagine, and soaking wet socks that just now dried. So finally, my feet.
I was
going to
say, if we had a hair dryer in the office, I know where it would be.
I'm just impressed that you decided, after seeing what it looked like outside the window today, you said, "You know what? I'm going to brave it and actually make it somewhere today." So well done.
Well, the part I didn't anticipate, and it's always what you don't anticipate, like in the market and everything. Usually the struggle is getting out of the alley, right? And the church plows their lot, so they make it easier for me, right? So all I really have to do is make it down to the corner and I'm okay through the church lot. So I look at it and I'm going, this snow is pretty darn high, but it's also pretty soft. So I put the Suburban in four wheel and I back out. Once it backed out okay, I knew I could make it down the rest of the way because I'm like pushing a little snow. So I get there. I had no idea that the streets were going to be this bad. And when we got downtown, the lots aren't plowed. I mean, the alley was the easiest part of the trip, right, Matty?
Yeah.
I had an easier time getting down the alley than Matty did walking down the sidewalk. And then getting down here, I mean, we're still, the Eisenhower, every time somebody's going up this hill, they're spinning out going up the hill here to the river.
Well, I'm looking out my window right now, and I can say over in Lincoln Park, they didn't appear to have snow plows come my way yet either.
Nothing on Sheffield. One lane on Sheffield. Then a guy starts coming at us, and I go, what are we going to do about this guy? there's only one lane in the middle, but fortunately he kind of turned off. But no, it's crazy stuff, all your entrances and stuff. Anyway, Mike, I have an investment issue here, and you're my man. You're the new man who's all over all this stuff, and you're going to have to explain this to me. Two things. Well, actually, two investment strategies. And we had, actually big money, more than we usually have. And we were able to, he has market margin, what do you call those things? The risk-based margin rather than the, regular.
He gets professional margin.
Right. Because you've got a big enough account.
A huge advantage in most brokerages. You need over $150,000 in your account
right.
to apply for that.
Yeah, so this dude's got way more than that, right? So one of the things that I've been wanting to try since I've been doing the Protect Index program really since 97. That's a long time. And it used to be, well, still I think it's a pretty good program. It just, every option strategy has its timing, right? It was a terrific strategy because you bought longer term puts and sold nearer term calls to pay for the puts. And, like I said, we were money manager of the year in 2007. I mean, but interest rates drop the price of the puts. Well, they don't drop and they elevate those and they drop the price of the calls. And interest rates go down. They've been down like this for nothing or for near zero for like a long time. Well, the bottom line is it's a tough time for the strategy. So the other
Absolutely.
Side,
and the reason why it's tough is you said it exactly. It's the volatility number.
Yeah,
you need that volatility number to be basically in a point where you're getting paid enough to sell those calls to afford the
right.
puts. But in a normal market, like kind of what we're looking at now, the puts are way more expensive than the calls.
Correct. But the weird part of it, and this has been since '87, and I know your research goes back that far and further. One of the things that's really bizarre, the reason why I mentioned the risk-based margining, is as you go lower, the skew, the volatility, the implied volatility wants to creep up on the puts, and as you go up, the calls want to go down, because people always have the feeling that if you go up an escalator and you go down the elevator, right, type of thing. And,
right.
And it's been like that since '87, so that's like a long time. And so what I really wanted to do is I wanted to do the mirror image of that strategy. I wanted to buy the calls, short the index, and sell the puts because the puts have a much higher implied volatility since 1987.
Well, what's amazing about that strategy is if you look over the past year, that would have been a home run type strategy. It's something that we typically wouldn't do because if you think about it, you're adding risk to the equation by basically giving yourself the opposite of that protection that you're looking for by selling the call. But why not, Chief? If that's the nature of the market, we might have to start adjusting our strategies to fit the market. And let's be honest, for the past year and a half, this market has been pricing in much more expensive puts
right.
than the calls. So if you're going to afford something, you want to sell the expensive and buy the cheap.
Well, that with the run-up in the market now, the market is pricing itself. Honestly, I don't know how much research you've done. If you look at the volatility skew, it looks like it's a corn option. The calls are now higher than the puts, which I've never seen since '87. Never. So I don't know. That I want you to explain to me, since you're my maven on this. The other one is we got Trump. Well, this is not a political statement, but we got Trump out of office. We got Biden in, who's supposed to be, the great conciliator. The COVID, whatever you want to think about it, and whoever you want to bitch at, the fact is the incidences are coming down. It looks like things are starting to move a little bit towards an improvement in the economy. Now, whether it's even close to where the market is, that's another story. But for whatever reason, the implied volatility, you look at the weeklies, I'm sure you do every day. I was looking Friday. The reason why I asked this is I all of a sudden have all kinds of money to put to work here, Mike, for a lot of reasons. I'm trying to do my protected strategy for people because that's what they want me to do. And yet, every single month, every week now, in the Russell for sure, the implied volatility goes up a half a point. Why? What is out in the future? The future to me looks better than the last 6 months.
Now, it's ironic because typically when a market's going higher, you're seeing volatility contract.
Right.
And at the end of the day, we are seeing volatility contract, but we're not seeing it contract anywhere near where we historically would see it contract. An up market like we've seen over the past year, you'd expect volatility to be half of what it is now. And we aren't. We're simply well above historical averages. We've been well above historical averages all year. And yes, we just broke below 20 in the VIX. What does that mean? Well, we've been above 20 for the past year and a half. This is the lowest we've seen volatility. And just to give you an idea, 20 or 19.95 is still 4.5 percentage points above the average. So we're still trending at very high levels.
But look in the rear
window. It's easy to lose sight of it.
But you're in the rear window. This morning it's 21.12.
Okay,
it's up over a point.
I didn't check it this morning.
Yeah, it's up over a point.
We ticked up a little bit.
Yeah, it's up over a point with the spooze up 20. When did that ever happen?
That's so rare that it, you know, if it closes like that, it will go down as one of the rare occurrences where this happened. It does happen, but it doesn't happen all that often. I'm talking to the magnitude of like 95% of the time it doesn't happen.
Well, just in layman's terms, which sometimes even you and I are like talking in terms of vol and things like that, and nobody understands what the hell we're talking about. In percentage terms, when I was doing the Protect Index program, my brother and I were doing, he did more of it than me, from 97 to 07, and even after that somewhat, when you bought the puts, say you bought the spider at pick a number, $300. The year and a half, 18-month, 19, 20-month put was roughly 10%, 10 to 10.5%, the price of the underlying. All right, so all you had to do by selling calls for a year and a half was to make up 10% of the price of the underlying. And when the calls, with the price, the volatility they were at the time, you should be able to, if you held everything constant, volatility and everything, you should be able to get your put money back 45% of the way into the position. So you should have half that 18 months essentially for free, your protection.
Gotcha.
And now I'm going to say, man, it got, the weird part was, is early in 2007, before the craziness happened, the volatility got down so low, it got down to where it was only 8% of the underlying. So one of the reasons why we were Money Manager of the Year in 2007, as I said, at this number, with the market up this high, I think we'll buy extras. So we did.
Right, yeah.
So essentially we bought three for every two, which got us up to the 12% or 11.5%, 12% that you normally paid anyway, but now I had an extra put. Well, right now, if you go out, you're paying, it's got to be like 15%. So I don't, there's no way that I can drop all this money in the protected index program right now paying that much for the protection. It's like buying a Corvette and paying $5,000 a year for insurance. But so,
right. It almost forces your hand. At the end of the day, you can't place the trade because from a risk-reward perspective, it simply isn't there. You say, this feels like too much risk for the amount of reward.
Right.
I'm not going to do the trade. And by that very nature, it should change the spread to get to a more fair market. But like you said, Chief, we're just not seeing it, and
no.
We haven't seen it for a long time.
So
this has become the new norm.
Well, my strategy is one way to cut out volatility. When I say cut out, if you just buy a call, buy a put, or sell a call, sell a put, wherever the applied volatility is, you're paying it. So if it's expensive, you think it's expensive. Now, maybe expensive for a reason. You're basically paying it. But that's one of the reasons why people do spreads, because if you buy one that's expensive and sell one that is expensive, the net might be close to fair value, right? So what I'm thinking of doing for the next 3-4 months, because I honestly don't know why, between now and June, this implied volatility is going up like there's no tomorrow. I'm just thinking for the people who want to be in long-term of buying a June or a July, just buying them a one-to-one spread at the right size and just leaving the rest of the money in cash. And saying if it goes
well, the beauty behind doing a spread is you can reduce that cost. So if you're thinking, okay, this put is kind of expensive for what I want to pay. You know, volatility is at not at 9% like it was historically. It's at 19%. you do it at the spread, and basically you're buying a put. You're still buying a put, so you get that downward protection. But then you're selling a call, and the money that you make from selling the call actually takes away from the price tag of that long put. So you're able to do, say, a put that costs you $5 to put on. You might sell the call for $2.50, and now you've just paid $2.50 for a call that you might have paid $5 for.
Well, one of the, when you're in the midst of a big sell-off, which we're clearly not, one of the things you can do, I think, when you, well, again, all this depends on the client. Like, I mean, you know what I'm talking about here. It's not, if you have a retiree and he's never going to work again, he or she would never even consider doing a put spread for protection. Because who am I to say what the bottom of Armageddon is going to be, right? Now, clearly, I mean, we've got the spiders at 394. Well, suppose they were 194, okay? I mean, if we go down by 50%, which I'm not predicting, I'm not anything. Well, at 194, you and I might get on the air and say, you know what? If we bought the 90-40 put spread, it might be good enough, okay? It's another 20%, for God's sake. You know,
right.
You know, we may be wrong. It's a risk, but at least at that point, we're going to say, "Boy, oh boy!" I mean, the whole world would want to buy this booze at, you know, 140 type of thing, or the spiders at 140. But I don't know right now. We just had Kenny on, and I mentioned to him, kind of tongue in cheek, because everybody who's on CNBC talks about we might have this 5-10% correction. They don't adjust that. No, if we're going to be up 10% this week, they don't say next week we're going to have a 15-20% correction. I mean, what's everybody, I mean, right? Nobody, I mean, I don't, I, right now, I would no more do a put spread. I got the spiders at 394. The idea that your dad would drop money with me and me say, well, I'll buy the 390 puts and I'll sell the 360s. That's as far as we could go. I wouldn't do that with anybody's money. People I didn't like. I mean, what makes me think right. That 360 is the bottom of if we start to correct? It could be 160, for God's sake, right? I mean, we're way too high.
At that point, all you can do is you can say, we can take X amount of risk off the table by doing this, but if it's a massive collapse, you're only saving yourself a little bit to lose still quite a bit.
Instead of losing 80, you lose 72. That's a, I guess it's
right,
better.
Right.
You know, but no, I mean, I really don't understand why the price of insurance right now, with everything that we think is wrong with the world, getting a little better. I mean, Illinois, we went from 10,000 positive tests, what, 3 weeks ago, Mandy, to 1,400 yesterday? 1,450? So, I mean, the vaccines appear to be working, you know, slowly but working. I mean,
right.
I don't think anybody thinks that we're going to be in worse shape economically, you know, physically as a country 5 months from now. I still think the market's too high, but I mean, the thought that I would want to pay more for June insurance the next week never even crossed my mind. And yet, the rest of the world's telling me that's the story. Is it interest
right.
rate related?
It might be interest related. It might be monetary policy related right now. We're doing so many different experiments that we've never really done before in the market that I think the uncertainty is how this will all play out. And we can't predict the virus, although we can say metrics do seem to be improving. We are seeing a little bit of a tick down in volatility, but nowhere near what you might expect with markets making all-time highs, and not just making all-time highs for the first time in a while. We've been making all-time highs all year long.
But I think the downtick in volatility, that's what we're talking about. It's for today. It's not for June. That's not ticking down much at all. God help you if you want to go out to September. I mean, you're paying.
Absolutely, yeah.
I mean, I had the September Russell, what was it, 28 or something? I mean, it's really up there. There's no other election. There's no nothing.
We call that, Chief, a state of contango, which means that as you go out in time, volatility is actually increasing. This is a natural state of the market, but it's really prevalent, and the magnitude is really, really high right now. And like you said, you go out just a few months, you're already seeing 8 percentage vol points higher. That's a huge number in the vol. And the VIX. I encourage everyone to go back and look at the history of the VIX, and you can just realize how unique of a time we're in right now.
But every time, this kind of, I'm not going to pin blame on anybody, but this sort of happened that I noticed it around the time that Obama essentially got elected. Not because it was him, or not because this is not a political statement, but it seemed like we were constantly you know, he gets in, and then it's, oh, man, the near term. And then it was the Obamacare means they're going to have the near-term election. The midterm is going to be a big – there was always something that if you were one of the faces on TV, you could sort of point to. Okay, well, now it's a general election. What if he wins again, or what if these guys take the center? These guys, there was always
– right.
I mean, when you're supposed to – when you're on TV or radio, I mean, for several reasons, people – you know, market, S&P is up 1850 as Maddie Weber leaves the camp. You know, I mean, there's got to be, there's always something you're supposed to say, you know, even though has nothing to do with the other, they're supposed, but there always was something that was, let's say, semi-logical to say the reason why the volatility is not dropping between now and November is because the election's in November or something.
Exactly.
You know, but this time I see nothing on this horizon that leads me to, that is any event like that to you.
No, and that's why I keep going back to the monetary policy. That's the only part of this equation that I think is the big unknown, which is the amount of money being put into the system, not to get into a long debate on economics, because, Chief, we can talk about this all day.
Right.
But I think, you know, with the massive amount of stimulus that not we've just seen in the past year, but we've seen over the past decade, I think it's starting to have its effects on the market. Where this all goes, hard to say. Prices are massively high. They seem to go higher. They seem immune to most what traditionally might be called bad news. You have high flyers coming out of the blue. Not that we haven't always had high flyers. It's just maybe because they're reporting on them more now, they seem like they're happening more often. But it's an interesting market. And personally, I'm not. This is not the type of market where I go all in and trade everything. I go a little bit smaller when I don't understand all of the dynamics or don't feel like I have a good handle.
Well, what? Well, we only got a few minutes here, but and this is not something you and I normally talk about. But in my era, it seemed like no matter what, well, my early life, doctors could totally screw up and nobody went after them, right? But now that sort of changed. But now you see, you know, people that are politicians. And not only are, you know, the world has changed in terms of the Twitters and all the other stuff, but there seems to be some, at least, attempt that if somebody comes in and totally screws things up, there's some attempt at, I'll use the term, retribution. I mean, clearly it's going on with Trump. You know, I mean, it's a,
right.
I mean, it's a, I mean, it was a, you know, all of it was a, as I was surrounded by right-wingers all weekend, I mean, you know, and I finally had to say, hey, the guy gives a speech, it goes down the block, and people go down the block, and there's people dead. Somebody's got to answer for that. I mean, it's not like it was a walk by. I mean, there's five people dead, for God's sake. I mean, this is not a. I mean, whether the impeachment should happen or anything, that's not it's above my pay grade. But to say that the man did nothing wrong, come on. I mean, nobody knows better than me. It's not what you say; it's what people hear. I said, but now we've got Cuomo, you know, and we reported on the show what like the first month, maybe. That the guy screwed up by sending people from hospitals back to nursing homes because they were already infected. And look at the people that died in nursing homes. It was whether he had, you know, ever thought the hospital was going to be full. Did he make the decision that way? But it turns out it was a horrendous decision. And then he tried to cover it up by shifting where the people died, it appears. I mean, I'm not that close to the story. So now people are saying, hey, the guy ought to resign. Well, I'm looking at Jay Powell, and, he looks like a likable enough guy. To me, every single economic thing I've ever learned since freshman year at Notre Dame, for God's sake, the man is flying in the face of on purpose. Just, but maybe it's, you know, he's got some and Biden just appointed the lady who wrote the book by don't like forget about all the old money supply, monetary policy. That she's on the council, she got appointed to some position. Why? That book is insane. That book is absolutely insane.
That's well, it seems like at this point they're all going all in on this trade, and they seem to be lined up. The one thing that makes you worried is if a wrench gets thrown in the system and the investing population doesn't agree with how the numbers are adding up, you may actually see a sell-off. At this point, I think we're a little more biased to the upside, and it's easy for me to say because we've been up every day, but I'm thinking about a downside move every single day, and I'm thinking about my positions and ways that I can hedge my positions for the worst case scenario. And am I going to be able to stay in business trading after a really bad move happens?
Well, I mean, that's what I'm doing for clients. I mean, that's why we're on the same. But the thing that back in the 70s, really starting in the 60s, that inflation, it was a monetary event like it always is, but it came at us through the Arab oil embargo and those kinds of things. And it hit everybody sort of at the same time. And other than if you own an oil company, there really were no winners. I mean, obviously the Arabs were winners and a few other people, but this time it is so obvious who the winners are. It's people who own assets, people who own stock, people who own bonds. It is so freaking obvious, and that who the winners are and who the losers are liable to be, that this time it seems like it's almost being done on purpose, because you know 1% of the people own what, 80% of all the stocks and assets. I mean, it is absolutely being, it's nowhere near the same as the 70s where it came and got everybody at the same time. Right? I mean, this is almost on purpose. And I tell you what, if it gets to the point where it gets totally out of hand, I think people are going to come after him like they're going after Cuomo and Trump. Because
it's a possibility. There's no question about it.
I mean, there's no reason for this. After all, especially now that things are supposedly getting a little better. I mean, he should tell the Congress, do what you want, borrow the money, but I'm not giving you another $3 trillion of printed money, or $1.9 trillion.
Well, I can say the first place that we're going to see a problem is going to be in that VIX calculation. So if you keep an eye on the VIX every day, know today it's at 19, which is the lowest it's been this year. It's at 21 right now, but it ticked down to 19 earlier. That's a low print. If you start seeing VIX up in the 40s, I would say, be more cautious. That's expectation of more market movement ahead.
Well, yeah, I'm getting, that's why I love talking to you, Mike, because you haven't gotten as cynical as I have. Maybe you will someday. I hope you don't. But I look at what's happening.
I'm getting there.
But I watch his target is up another $2 today. I watch his target go up every friggin' day, and Walmart's gonna report this week. For God's sake, they shut the rest of the country down and said you could only buy it these places. And what if we find out that Pritzker and half the people in Washington are loaded with Target and Walmart stock?
Well,
I mean, I'm almost willing to, you know, to start getting back the public squares. You put people out there and let people throw tomatoes at them or something. You know, I mean, this is getting very pointed, right? How would you feel if you were like a mom and pop that's out of business?
One thing's for sure, this is the greatest transfer of wealth in the history of the world.
Oh, yeah. And Mike, thank you very much, buddy. We'll talk at you, where are we, Tuesday? We'll talk at you next Monday, for sure. And then,
sounds good.
Assuming we can drive in by then. S&P futures up 18, NASDAQ futures up 65. Be right back, Stacks and Jacks.
How much confidence do you have that your investments will make you wealthy? Do you truly know the odds? Welcome to Luckbox, the control freak's guide to life, money, and probability. Luckbox shows you how to gauge the likelihood of success before you commit to an investment or any other decision. And Luckbox is free for 1 year at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Each new issue dives deep into the current investing climate, separates the signal from the noise with relevant trade ideas, and equips you with cutting-edge tactics you don't already know. Luckbox is the essential magazine for proactive investors who are hell-bent on pursuing life, luxury, and happiness through sports, fitness, travel, food, spirits, music, and a whole lot more. Smart investors don't bet on possibilities, they play the probabilities. Luckbox is $7.99 on newsstands, but you can subscribe for 10 free digital issues at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Don't rely on luck. Get Luckbox at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks.
Are you one of the millions of people who suffer with pain? Do you wake up in the morning with stiffness in the lower back or neck? Why are you using medication to cover up the symptoms without treating the actual cause? Painkillers, muscle relaxants, and anti-inflammatories are not the answer. At ChiroMed, physicians are trained to detect the cause of your symptoms and to correct the underlying problem. If you're ready to listen to common sense and do what it takes to make changes in your body that can affect your health for the rest of your life, give ChiroMed a call and set up a complimentary consultation. They are located in Orland Park and can be reached at 708-403-2727. 20,000 patients over 22 years have been treated at ChiroMed, and over 90% of them have had positive results without medication or expensive surgery. Isn't it time you did something good for your body too? Give ChiroMed a call. 708-403-2727. That's 708-403-2727. Let's get you pain-free and living again.
Hello, this is Tom Howell, the Chief. We've talked a lot on the show about risk and suitability, about how your portfolio should match your age, income, and risk appetite. It's been hard for investors to maintain that suitability in the last several years due to a Fed strategy that has driven interest rates to virtually zero. You may have even heard that the Fed was trying to drive conservative investors to a riskier portfolio on purpose, for whatever reason. I'm sure you are aware of investors that took some increased risk, such as longer-term fixed income securities, and are now unhappy with that choice. At PTI, we have always stressed total portfolio risk awareness and tried to minimize chasing returns in a tough environment. Well, now it looks like maybe interest rates are moving more towards historical levels. Everyone needs to be aware of what that continued movement might do to your portfolio, both good and bad. We also have a stock market that seems to have stalled, at least for the short term. I think it's time for everyone to take a serious look at their goals, their risks, and their portfolios. Do they match? If not, we can help. We have a signature protected index program. We have ways to hedge against interest risk. We can make that portfolio right for you again. Go to PTISecurities.com or call us right now. The market can change very rapidly. That's PTISecurities.com.
Stocks, jocks,
stocks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now, right here, right now, right now.
Hello, everyone. Face Tyson Yanks. I'm Tom Ollie, Mr. Matt Weber on the board. Because of all the snow and wet socks and everything, we forgot to report that Jake Arrieta is back in the series this year. What do you think, Manny?
Well, I don't think the Cubs are going to be particularly good this year, but I do like Jake Arrieta a lot, and you know, I'm glad he's back.
I am too, actually. I like the guy. SP Futures up 15, Nasdaq Futures up 61. Of course, the pitching coach that helped him out is long gone, right?
He is, that's right.
Who was that? It was a...
That was the former Milwaukee guy. What the hell is his name? I'll think of it in a second.
Yeah, he was. Yeah, I thought he was pretty good. Dow futures up 168, so we're still way up, but not as up as we were. Asia, we've got Hang Seng is they are open today. They're up 573. That's 1.9%. Nikkei is up. Mainland China is not open. Shanghai is down.
Chris Basio. Yeah, that was the guy.
And he. Why did we toss him? Oh, what's his name? Didn't like him. The guy from.
Well, yeah. Supposedly there was some off the field stuff. I don't know, and I don't know if Madden stopped liking him or what. But yeah, he got canned, and then he went somewhere else and got canned.
Yeah,
I don't know. But I think he was a pretty good pitching coach when he wasn't. I don't know if he had a drinking issue or what it was, but
he didn't drink enough. Nikkei up 383. Over Europe, we got quiet Europe. DAX down 8. Call that flat. FTSE up 12. That's 0.1%. CAC down 1. That's well, let's call that one flat. Bonds, here's where the move is. Up 0.05. So that's 1.25 is a 10-year. One minus 0.37, which we haven't seen in ages. And Japan almost pushing 0.8, 0.08, 0.076. Oil, pretty much unchanged. Oil. West Texas up 20 cents, 59.67. Brent down 23 cents, 63.07. Natural gas up 16 to 308. RBOB up 6 cents, 175. So you're prepared to put more in the tank. Of course, you're not going anywhere. I guess it takes a lot of gas to get out of the drift, I suspect. Gold now down 17 bucks, and silver's only up 3 cents. So we're getting all these guys are scaling back here pretty good. Copper up 4 cents, so they're still 383. Platinum's up 35. It was up way more than that. On the crypto, we got Bitcoin up 375, 49.030, but I think it traded over 50. So it's come down $1,000 of its high. Maybe we got for us Trevi Weather Sports.
36 minutes past the hour. Good morning to everyone out there. We have all kinds of delays and slow-moving expressways this morning, as you would expect. The Kennedy Express lanes are closed due to... it says the nature of cleaning off the express lanes manually. The express lanes will not be open until after all the expressways are fully cleared of snow at the earliest. So no express lanes, and that has the Kennedy jammed up even more than it normally would be as crews work to get the Kennedy cleared off. But no accidents to report on the Kennedy at this moment. In fact, there's no accidents to report on any of the area expressways right now, which that's good news. The bad news is it's really, really slow travel times and a lot of exit ramps that are closed and have all kinds of spin-outs and stalls on them. So give yourself plenty of time if you are heading out this morning. We're going to try to check in on the trains because half the CTA trains were disabled last hour. We're hoping that that is getting fixed because that would relieve some of the pressure on the expressways. But right now, give yourself plenty of time if you're heading out there. Weather today, we have a little bit of sunshine peeking through right now. Overall, it's supposed to be overcast with a high of 21 today. Could have some more flurries later on, too. Right now, it is partly cloudy and 11 degrees downtown. Wind chills around zero. For our Phoenix listeners, partly cloudy skies with a high of 70. Right now, it's overcast and 53. In sports, the Blackhawks topped the Red Wings 3-2. Coyotes shut out the Blues 1-0. And in NBA basketball, the Bulls won in Indianapolis, beating the Pacers in overtime 120-112. Chief.
Now, the original mayor, Frank will remember, Da Mayor, Richard Jay, would keep the L trains running all night in bad weather just to make sure they kept running.
Ah, that's a good idea.
Frank, how are you?
Good.
Just as a little known, when we had the Balandic issue, or not the Balandic storm, but we had what year was it? Was that 82? I don't know if I forget.
It was like, oh God, 79.
Maybe 79, but
that's when Pete Civarelli made his, dice or bones or whatever they say.
Yeah. Well, Maddie, the L cars at the time, the CTA cars that were in the middle, they'd always just run on overhead tracks, right? So never had any problem with salt. Well, the ones down the middle of the Ryan, not even sure there was any in the middle of the Kennedy, the salt that was sprayed in there, they went to an open electronic thing designed so they could fix them easier. Well, they still had some of the really old cars, the Green Hornets, were still on the L track, so what they were doing is the salt being sprayed in there put all the newer L cars out of commission, like the entire new batch. It took them like a day to rebuild every car to get them back working, so they ended up having to put the green old ones on the Ryan. God, it looked weird. But we had all kinds of problems. I mean, there's problems with this, but the good news is it is the middle of February, so even though it looks pretty bleak right now. Now, the next thing we're going to have is, what do you think, Frank, 60 degrees and about an inch of rain one day and the city is floating or what?
Only the south side.
Only the south side? North side is...
yeah.
Okay.
Because that's where the flooding historically is.
Well, yeah.
In southern Cook County.
Yes. Well, they're... Well, it's, you know, what do you suppose... Talk about an odd subject. What do you suppose would happen, given all the stuff that's happening? I'm not blaming global warming. I'm not blaming anything. What do you suppose would happen if all the original drawings, where they decide where the... 100-year storm is, and the 30-year storm, and those kinds of things. If they redid those and put like a 20% kicker on them to be safer, how many people would be in floodplains that never knew they were in a floodplain? Especially in cities like Houston.
I would imagine an awful lot. But we built a deep tunnel, which changed some things. We opened up a old quarry in Elmhurst to drain that eastern DuPage County.
Well, There's something. How would you like, if you came back in life, Maddie, who would you like to come back as in terms of you having it made? I don't want to come back. I'd want to come back as one of the Tunney brothers. That firm has been working on the deep tunnel since I was in high school. It's the longest running public works project in history, isn't it? The one guy ended up being ambassador to Ireland, didn't he? The one brother when he retired. They've just been working on this thing since. I'm going to say it started in '68. Frank, am I right or not?
Probably, and the McHughes have probably had some equipment there.
Oh, yeah.
It's been around that long.
I mean, it's the thing was, it finally was, quote, finished last year. I'm not sure it's ever going to be totally finished. But they finally broke into what? The McCook Quarry? McCook Quarry, say that five times fast, where is now the overflow spot?
They have two overflows. They have the McCook, and then they have the Thornton Quarry.
Well, there's no doubt that the history of Chicago, and I actually have a book, so the history of Chicago is the history of water management. It's pretty fascinating.
Well, that's what happens when you build on a swamp.
That's right. And with I'll give this 30 more seconds for anybody who's interested, is Chicago is very unusual in the sense that it has a black dirt type of, ground, and then under it, a couple of feet is clay, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, I think, Mr. Weber, that the 90% of the first inch and a half of rain, 2 inches of rain, is absorbed in the spot. And then, 90% of the next 2 inches of rain runs to the river, right? Or something, Frank? I mean, it's bizarre.
Well, part of it is that there's an underpinning of limestone in a number of areas around. And that really exacerbates the problem.
So you
like Elmhurst, for example.
Right. And well, that's why when they dug the sanitary and ship canal, they didn't even need to put those iron things in the side. The limestone formed its own walls. Right?
Right. And if you go south, I mean, the Kankakee River has a limestone bottom.
Yeah. I mean, it's crazy. But, all right, mark it, Frank. We've got, we just talked to Mike. I don't know if you were listening in. The VIX is not dropping like you'd expect. As a matter of fact, it's up $1.30 today, which is very unusual. It's a spooz up 15. We got, you know, huge move up in Hang Seng. Europe's very quiet. But, you know, as you go out per month, and I can't think of anything in the future that looks to me like a bad day. When I say bad day, historically, there's not an election coming up. There's anything like that. And yet the VIX is going up every single month as you go out. It's going up a half a point a week in the Russell.
And it does go up. The what do they call it, contango? It goes up going out.
You know, when people say
because
that...
Because the farther out you go, the more uncertainty there is.
I'm going to push back on that here some, because there might be some more uncertainty, but if a stock has a 1S times V move, it really affects your short-term volatility. It doesn't really affect something out 2 years, because a lot of things are supposed to happen between now and 2 years from now, right?
Well, for me, long-term is the six-month or three-month VIX.
Okay.
I don't look any farther beyond 6 months.
But I'm saying for the 12 years we did basically exclusively protected index program, that entire from 1997 to 2008 time frame. I'm not saying about anything. If the near term volatility in the OEX or the S&P or the SPX at the time was 13, you'd find the year and a half out, the leap would be 12.8, 12.5 or something. You would never see it as a 20, Frank. I mean, in those days. I mean, you're right. It would never be like a 6. But it was never above, unless there was some kind of a, you know, if you knew there was an event, if there was a, you know, some big high pollutant G7 or something out 6 months, maybe that would bump it a little bit. You never really had a near term at a 12. And then it all started kind of, like I say, people are thinking I'm blaming Obama. I'm not. But in the Obama administration, you'd find this thing where if you went out, you know, 8 months, it'd be a 12. Remember the years where we never had more than a 1% move for like a couple of years? That the day-to-day VIX would be like an 8 if you looked out like for next Friday. In other words, people were saying, we know there's a cliff there somewhere, it's just not between now and Friday, which is always interesting.
We had that stretch months on end where the SPX did not move more than 10 points.
Yeah.
It was under 1%. It was amazing. But still, the longer that happened, the more that 6 month or 3 month VIX would the larger that would be, because they're going to have to be soon. It has to be soon.
Well, but I'm saying that, the option models themselves, the further out you go, the more accurate they become, because you lose your tail risk.
Yeah, but the option models don't work on the VIX.
No. Well, it's because it's
on the VIX options.
Well,
the VIX futures, because they're a monthly future and they just don't work.
Well, plus it's
you're
a second derivative.
You're getting an option on a decaying asset.
Well, I'm going to lob this one at you. It's a second derivative. It's an option on an option. So that's why it's screwed up. That's why people look at the VIX and they say, oh, if it's a 35, it's got to come down. No, it doesn't. It means.
Now, when we're talking math like this, we have listeners that are going to say, I wonder if there's any cartoons on TV.
Are there? There probably are. By the way, if you had to go out today, could you get out? Was your driveway all shoveled?
Sure, I'm from South Bend. My driveway is not all shoveled, but I got a new car this weekend.
You got a Subaru?
Yes.
Those are good little cars.
I just said, I'm not even going to say that, because even though I'm old, I can't get away with saying it. And a liberal.
They were rated, what, the safest car last year or something? Or one of the top 10 safest cars?
And I was pretty happy with my Honda Element. It took a head-on crash very well.
Well, I came real close on Saturday night. I told you, I still don't know what the story was with that guy. as you went by any.
No, you weren't. I mean, people drive too fast, as Kevin said, and it's not just, you know, our south side expressways. It's the arterial streets. It's I-88 going out to Naperville. It's going up to Milwaukee. People drive at 90 miles an hour.
Well, they don't have any problem with the snow and ice either. They seem to think that that's okay. That the people
they must be from Texas.
Do you believe all the pileups and stuff down there? All right. So, Frank, let's get back on topic here. We're back to 125. We're up 5 basis points in the 10-year in one day. Doesn't anybody get in the feeling here that we've like now doubled, damn near doubled in 4 months? Is anybody, people still saying, oh, no, I can't go more than like 1.6. What makes people think if inflation's going to get a 5 or 6 that people are going to lend people money for 10 years at 1.2? Nobody's that stupid, are they?
Hey, J.P. Morgan Chase just loaned me 4 years at 0.
Don't get me started on how that's illegal. Now, for that to happen, somebody's giving them a kickback, correct?
Correct.
That kickback is considered to give it to one place and not another is totally illegal by the play. It should be you get 4 years at 0 or $2,000 or $1,800, whatever the hell the kickback is. And you should be able to take that $2,000 thing and go to BMO Harris or Lakeside and say, how much what's my interest rate on this car if I give you $2,000 up front? They might say, keep $400 and give us the $16 and it's 0%, right? It's not competitive.
But they don't let you check in that much. And right now, if you want a car, especially a four-wheel car, you better buy it when you find it.
I'd been looking
a couple weeks. I knew the market pretty well.
For what you paid for that, I could have sold you the Suburban. Just saying.
Right, and gotten 12 miles a gallon.
What's the difference? If you got that kind of dough, you don't care about the gas. Just saying.
I started off looking at hybrids, Tom.
You know what's odd to me, and we don't want to talk too much about it, is the flex vehicles. 3 weeks ago, when gas was down to like 225 or something, the ethanol was like 218, and now Sunday when I got gas, they went up on Monday, drove by the same station, it was like 252, and the ethanol was like 207. That spread goes up and down dramatically. I wonder why.
That and diesel.
Yeah, diesel too. Remember, well, when we were Utes, diesel was always appreciably less than gas. Now it's more.
All right. At the corner of 131st and LaGrange, which is sort of my touchstone for gas pricing, was $2.75 yesterday.
For diesel?
No, for gas.
What was diesel?
I don't look.
See, now,
I'm from Indiana, I don't look.
So what do you make of the fact that that this VIX is going up and the market's going up here and the Fed's doing their thing and now we're going to have another $1.9 trillion package? I mean, where is this all coming? Especially this weekend, I heard earlier, I read like 2 or 3 articles, I think I sent you one, that one guy's very concerned that the riskiest stuff is the highest, the things that are moving the most are the highest out on the risk curve. Bitcoin, penny stocks, those kinds of things. Matter of fact, my significant other has somebody she was doing some real estate stuff with, and the guys, of course, couldn't wait to give her 2 penny stocks that I'm supposed to buy. I mean, I guess I've owned 25 penny stocks in my life, Frank, only because people always gave them to me, and I didn't want to be the only person that didn't get rich, and I don't think I've made a dime ever on one of them. Have you?
No, but I talked to somebody. I have a friend that had $3,000 in an account and has $90,000 right now.
Oh,
he doesn't. I didn't even buy GameStop, and I'm going, fine.
There's no doubt it works for other people.
But, you know, it never works.
You know what I ended up with, Mandy, that I finally dumped for a buck? Is your buddy got us all involved in his gay radio station in New York. And I didn't want to be the only person on the score that didn't have some of his stock. I didn't want to have like Thomas and Herb, or you and Herb being like millionaires and me having nothing. So I bought into this. I think I bought, I don't know how many 100,000 shares I bought at 0.0001 or something. Cost me like, you know, a couple $100. It was worthless. Just saying. But then again, that wasn't a penny stack. That was like
What exactly is a gay radio station? It was just a, they talked about gay stuff, like homosexual stuff?
Well, this is how long
ago
was
I don't even know what you're talking about.
Mike North, there was a station in New York that, you know, this is back before.
Is it LGBTQ?
Oh, no, it was before that. It was a couple of gay guys who were pretty good, and they got on there, and they were going to have the entire station was going to be gay guys all day long. So Mike thought this was a big thing, and he bought into it. All he did was talk about it. And matter of fact, he busted into our show one day to tell us about the stock. So the thought of me not having any of this, if Mike became a gazillionaire, I'd rather waste a grand on a stock, which I did. Which, you know, just what you can lose and always lose it, that line, well, that's what happened. But at one point, I probably had 20 of those in my account, and I'd say every single one of them was a loser. They're all worthless. Yeah, you do hear stories. Audrey's telling me about some guy she knows. I think she said Frankie bought it for 0.009 cents, and now it's $4 or something. I don't know the name of it. Because if I knew the name, I wouldn't say it.
Right, and he doesn't wear a mask, and he doesn't have COVID. So.
Right. Oh, now you got to wear two masks. You were never helping me wearing that mask. If you needed to wear two masks, see,
it's helped me. I don't have it. I have a different narrative than you do.
I'm just saying.
Anecdotal experience.
But now that you're going to get your, we're going to give you. They shouldn't give any vaccines to mask wearers. But you're still going to wear the mask.
But no, of course I should. Because with every right, there's a corresponding responsibility.
Well, but I'm just saying.
And so I wear a mask just in case somebody won't recognize me and be terrified.
You're like, oh, hey, but by the way, what do you think of the convenience store out in that the guy won't let somebody in with a mask? Because none of his cameras.
Oh, you mean in Elmhurst, the cigar store?
Yeah.
It's his business.
Well, you can't go into the, I'd forgotten all
he
about it.
He doesn't want anybody that didn't vote for Trump going into his store.
Well, okay, there's a guy here on the I never thought I'd see the day, Frank, but out of the few open places there are downtown, it's the, what do they call the places? The dollar loan joints? Day loan joints? They're still open. You know,
Payday
loans. Well, this guy over here, there's always been a sign. This is the one where the guy got murdered, right?
Yeah, that was not that long ago.
No.
What, 5 years ago?
Yeah, was the guy went in, did he get murdered or did he blast his girlfriend?
He went into the store. I think they both worked. And well, she definitely worked there, and I feel like he might have worked there too. But anyway, yeah, he went in there and blasted his wife or girlfriend, whoever it was, and then killed himself, all in the lobby of this little payday loan place around the corner from the office.
That's when you know you're pissed off at somebody.
I mean, and I remember that morning, the next morning, you know, after hearing about it in the news, we walked by it, of course, because it's right in our path, and they had the what are they called, the Irish curtains?
Yeah.
The brown paper up on the window so you couldn't see in.
Actually, the Irish curtains are the newspaper.
Okay, well, it was close to that. It was like brown. It was like brown paper.
You ever hear that term, Frank? No, that's
no, because I sort of avoid ethnic slurs.
Well, in the Irish neighborhood, that's what they called it. What can I tell you?
I'm only a quarter Irish. Behind this Irish name, there's something else.
I grew for my first few years. I was in the Irish ghetto. Back of the Yards.
Is that Canaryville?
No, it's back of the Yards. St. John the
Baptist. Back of the Yards.
Visitation. St. John the Baptist was the poor stepchild church to Visitation. Visitation is where people lived on the boulevard. They had money.
That's where the lace curtain went?
Yeah. That's where the lace curtains were. So that's what they would say. That those are lace curtain Irish and were the whatever. The newspaper Irish. Where was I going with this? You knocked me off my topic all the time, Frank.
You're on payday loans.
Yeah, payday loans. That guy forever has been no hoodies, no sunglasses, no mask, right, Manny?
I have no idea.
Look, I mean, everything in there is filmed like there's no tomorrow. They wouldn't even do hoodies and sunglasses. You got to take them off.
In my pharmacy's that way.
Really?
Yep, the walk-in banks in Elmhurst are that way. No hoodies, no hat, no sunglasses.
Well, so how are they making it with the... that's one of the reasons why they're not catching on to these carjackers. You can't tell anybody who anybody is. Just saying. All right, so...
Hey, the rental car I had, somebody tried to peel off the front plate and couldn't get it off, an Ohio plate.
Somebody tried to peel off my police plate.
Really?
Yeah. Failed miserably, but...
Probably somebody saying he's middle of the road, he doesn't deserve it.
So, yeah, I'm so middle of the road. We had emails from... I did four people last week, two on the left saying I've gone way too far to the right, and two on the right saying I'm way too liberal. So where am I?
Both.
Yeah, both. I'm something.
You aren't consistent, Tom.
What I try to do.
That's what happens. You have your own belief structure, which is fine.
No, I challenge the people on the right, and I challenge the people on the left, because I think anybody...
Because you're challenged.
I'm challenged. But I think anybody should look at an issue without realizing which side it's on first and judge it themselves.
I agree.
I agree too. And it's you don't see that nearly as much today than even not even that long ago. 10, 15 years ago, I think a lot of people were like that. Now it seems like no one's like that.
Yeah, they worry about getting censured by the Republicans or Democrats.
I think it's weird when you can when I can know exactly what your opinion is going to be on a topic before I even ask you. I think that's a problem.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Actually, Maddie, we have a if you want me to start digging around in my files, there's an article that was written when we first got on the show, and the guy was talking about why that is. He said, when you start getting all these issues that are pretty complex, it's not worth somebody, democracy, well, he knew about our neighborhood, didn't he? He said, democracy, the way we have it right now, it's not worth your time to really get bone up on all the issues because your vote's not that important. I mean, in our neighborhood, it's useless, right? Everybody's unopposed and whatever. Illinois is going to go to the Democrats.
I would disagree with that, but.
Well, okay. Well, where was
the
our
presidential vote?
Vote
doesn't matter, but all of your other votes matter immensely. I mean, we had a mayoral race that came down to a handful of votes.
Right, but I mean, the last one, how many of those people ran unopposed? Half.
Talking about judges and stuff?
No,
yeah,
this commissioner and our state
senator. Yeah, a lot of folks run unopposed, but to say your vote's useless would be incorrect.
What I tried to say, again, it's not what you say, it's what people hear. In our particular district, our precinct, we lead the league in people running unopposed. Quigley, right? We had all kinds of people ran unopposed. Well, Quigley wasn't unopposed, but he was 90%. So
your first example is wrong. What else you got?
Well, he was unopposed last time.
His district, are you talking Quigley, the congressman?
Yeah, yeah.
He goes all the way to Elmhurst.
Yeah, well, he was unopposed in the primary, Matty. So, man, that's where I was. But I'm saying there's only one name on the ticket. This last time, the general was more, you're right. I mean, you're more. But the primary, everybody, half the people run them. Anyway, what I'm saying is,
hey, Lisa Murkowski won on a write-in in the primary.
Really? Well, but
yes.
Anyway, this article, wow. I'm way off, knocked off as usual, was that people, it's not really worth your time to be up on all the issues. So what you do is you pick a side, and you let your side do the thinking for you. So the first thing you say is, well, here, here's something for a new bridge. Where's the right on this issue and where's the left? Because they got to be opposed, right?
Or you watch your channel, whatever that channel is, and they tell you what to think on everything. And then you don't have to worry about it.
By the way,
watch 1 hour of your channel that night and you're good to go for the next day to yell at everyone else.
Did you ever watch Fox?
Hell no.
Well, of course, I turn on the TV at Audrey's place.
I don't watch MSNBC or CNN either.
What am I going to do with my right-wing girlfriend? She's getting worse on me. But anyway, even though she's the best. So I turn on her TV, and of course.
You probably qualify for medical marijuana.
I think. I do something. Yeah. I drink heavily. So I turn it on, and Fox comes on. I never watch Fox. They got this Asian lady who evidently is a retired judge, so she's judged somebody and somebody. She's ripping off this stream of hatred about somebody. I'm going, who's she even talking about? Who is she? I mean, she's judged Amy or somebody, and she's on Fox. She's with this diatribe against somebody. I'm going, who the hell listens to this stuff?
I'm guessing she's no longer a judge.
She's no longer a judge. She's retired. So, and a pension. Right? I'm sure on the pension, telling everybody else they shouldn't get any money. Whatever. SP Futures not only up 10, we came in, we were up 20. NASDAQ Futures up 41. That's half of where they were as well. Frank, thank you very much. Maddie, a soldier coming in this morning. Back tomorrow, stocks and jobs. Hey, the sun's out. All's well.
What did we learn, Palmer?
I don't know, sir.
I don't know either. I guess we learned not to do it again.
Stocks and Jocks is brought to you by PTI Securities and Futures. Go to ptisecurities.com. PTI Pro Direct. Trade for as low as a penny per share and a dollar per option contract. Learn more at ptiprodirect.com. Nadex. Offering an intuitive way to trade the financial markets. Visit nadex.com. Home Source Realty. Call Audrey Johnson at 708-349-3456. Hamzy Analytics. Listen to Fari Hamzy every other Thursday and visit HamzyAnalytics.com. ChiroMed. Back or neck pain? Schedule a complimentary consultation by calling 708-403-2727. DAX Research. Tune in for David Andelman's technical analysis on Mondays and Thursdays and call 1-800-821-4968.